Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. What a nice place to come from sometimes. And what a delight it is to be in the presence of the Lord, whether I'm there, here, or somewhere else. Well, we are still looking at the good news. And the good news is that God listens to people who pray. And we can get our lives into a new way of thinking. If you look at the fourth verse of the third chapter of Colossians, he says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. I look forward to that. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside, the anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth, and do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so should you be forgiving others. Beyond all these things, put on the love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now I want to share with you some of these lets. In verse 15, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. There are many things that we need to look at here, because the word of God is to all of us that men ought always to pray and not faint. I don't know where some people got their names from, and I don't know the meaning of all the names that exist. But I do know that names are important as far as God is concerned. There is a bond of unity, and that bonding is love. There is an advertisement that is on television sometimes, and it says the gorilla will hold it all together because that's the name of the glue that you can use. the gorilla holds it together. I'm here to tell you that we need no gorilla and no sticky substance. We need love. Well, we love one another. So there's a good theme, and so some people have gone off at a great tangent. We will show love to one another. But they have forgotten something. Jesus preceded that, and he said, if you want to love each other, you have first to know the love of God, and the love of God that is greater far than tongue or pen can tell. And we need to understand that the love of God is revealed in us. If you don't have the Lord Jesus as your Savior in your life, then you do not have love to share with the people with whom you live, and the people with whom you meet, and the people with whom you have some sort of social gathering with. Our gatherings of love expressions, be it Easter or Christmas, when we give gifts and we tell people again that Jesus is risen from the dead, if the love of Jesus is not dwelling in you, you have not said a thing. You're not expressing the love of God, and you cannot express the love of God until you are bound to the Lord Jesus in the unity of peace which comes from the bondage you have with love. There was a young woman in our congregation years ago in the 50s, and she felt that she ought to go into the work of being a missionary. And she wanted to give herself to the work of missionary, but she didn't have too much learning. She didn't go to the right school. She didn't pronounce her words the same as everybody else. And she had an awful accent from a part of England that has an awful accent. For those that don't live there, it's hard to understand what's just been said. It was really quite strange to listen to this girl say that she wanted to be a missionary, and I thought she'd never make it. And of course, she went to Bible school, and people laughed at her and said she was of uselessness, and she could never make anything happen that was of value to the Lord. She was too ignorant. But if she wanted to go as a missionary helper, well, the mission board would make a slot for her and she could go that way. And she took that with two arms wide open. After several years of service, it became evident that this young lady had no intention of ever taking a vacation, no intention of ever taking time to go home to England and to see the people there. And I remember sitting with her one day on the veranda in India. She had spent a lot of time in India, in fact, all of her life. She was now in her 90s, and she was sitting on a rocking chair, just rocking very gently backwards and forwards, with a funny little wide-brimmed hat that was made of straw, grass, whatever. My friend who was with me, she said to her, when was the last time you took a furlough? That's a missionary expression for saying, time out, I'm going home for a while. And she said, my dear, God sent me to India to do this work. He called me here. He made opportunity for me to come here. And this is my home. What need have I of England? Now that, to the English people that were listening, was quite stunning. You mean never went home? Not since I was 18 years old was the last time I saw England, she said. And she went on to describe England, and it was a thing from a book. It sounded that Mr. Dickens may have even written it. The way she described England, and even I as a younger man, knew that this woman had no understanding of the new England that we have in England. just as I've lived here for 40 plus years now, people come and they talk to me about England, and I have to tell you, I don't recognize the England they're talking about. It's a curious thing. What was so beautiful has become so tardy and sort of rearranged. What was so excellent has become less excellent. What was an honor has become a need, and so on in these countries that we leave. Let me ask you, has God ever called you to another place to live, to serve him? I want to talk to you from Luke and chapter 21, where we read that Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said to his disciples, this was, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they out of their surplus put into the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on." I would like to just share with you those three verses. It's from Luke 21, and the verses are 1 through 3. Jesus saw the woman that gave a mite. Now let's get away from the size of the mite. It's the smallest piece of currency that ever was. Let's get away from that, because Jesus had something else that he was saying that is often missed. He said, look here, when these people give their gifts, they give $100,000, they give $10,000, and so on. And the people stood around. It was their custom to do this. They all stood around, and different people tried to outdo one another. They gave more or little less, but so the applause was greater or smaller depending on the size of the amount given to the temple. And people applauded, they clapped, they said, yeah, in modern English, I suppose. And some whistled, and so it went on. And then it came the turn of this woman who hadn't very much at all, and all she had was a mite in a pocket, which was the smallest piece of currency. Couldn't get any smaller than that. She swallowed and she took her mite and tossed it in, and maybe just a few people recognized that she had given everything that she had. There was small applause, a small recognition. Dear old lady had given all she had. That was it. Now, Jesus saw something else. He said, look at all these rich people. From the surplus of their profits that they have made, they've given all this money. And they won't hurt, was the indication. They won't hurt one bit. They will just be able to say, I gave so many thousands of dollars, and that church will blossom and bloom and be rich because I have given whatever it is I've given. But he said, look at this woman. Her wallet was empty, and she gave, and this is the expression I want to get through to you, she gave of her poverty. She gave of her poverty. And I have to say to you, there are times in our lives when we have nothing to give. There is nothing left. We don't have any money to give. Nothing. It's just a few weeks ago, I was at a church that I attend and preach at. The offering plate was passed around, and I grabbed for my money and realized that when I opened my wallet, there wasn't a thing in it. And there was absolutely nothing in it. And I closed my wallet and placed it in my pocket again and thought about things for a moment and put my hand in my other pocket and found $2. And I stood in front of that congregation and said nothing out loud, but I said to the Lord, you know, I'm sorry, but this is all I have. And like the widow with her mite, a tiny little piece of coinage, this is what I'm giving to you today. Will you take it and use it for your honor and your glory, please? I just threw the money in the offering plate when it came back to me, and I prayed and asked God to bless that offering, thinking, I wonder how many $2 have been put in for offerings. And I'm sorry that there's not more, but that's all I have. And I came away from that meeting not feeling chagrined that I didn't have much to leave behind, but I came away satisfied that I had given all that I had. I didn't have any more. I had $2. That was it. And Jesus said this woman had given everything she had out of her poverty. She had no piggy bank to go to. She had given what was in her purse, and it was the smallest amount of money in the coinage of the day. That's all she had. That's all she had. Now, don't miss something here. You may now say, oh, well, if I give $10 when I was prepared to give $100, God will bless it. Yes, he'll bless it. But if you had purpose in your heart to give $100, you'd best give $100. God will grow your money according to your heart. God will lessen your money according to your heart. And according to your heart, you will have enough money and more than enough. According to your heart, your poverty, your generosity, God will give. Oh, you say, but the man on TV says, give me your money and buy gold. I'm saying, give me your money and buy eternity and make all your gifts eternal gifts, whether they be large or small. God has a different way of keeping accounts than our government does, I tell you that. He has a different way of keeping accounts of all your money. He is concerned with the tiny things of this life. He is concerned with the little, just as he is concerned with the much. But a little is much when the Lord is in it, and a little is very much when he takes what you have given as your all and he blesses it. It's a blessing pressed down and running over. And you need to be the person that supplies that sort of gift. I need to be that. We need to give our money so that the Lord will be blessed. Let me take you quickly through a personal thing that my wife and I have contributed to since the day we got married. We decided that somehow our children would always be the blessing of God. So we did not choose names that we made up. We did not choose names that might have been sort of interesting and discussable, but we chose names from the scriptures. And this young man, this young woman, were to stand with a name that the Bible had for them, Sharon Rose. We changed that to Sharon Ruth because the word Rose did not appear to be so beautiful in my mind as Ruth. And then there is Paul Andrew. Means a great blessing from a small person. And what a blessing that boy has been to us. And then Judith Dinah. Well, you can make fun of it and say, is there anybody finer in the state of Carolina? In the morning, I think it is. Well, I have an answer. Judith, Dinah, means to be judged. You have no idea how the Lord has blessed those names. But each of the names of those three children have come through and blessed them as individuals and blessed the people who have had contact with them and made friendships with them and so on. And they have been very successful in whatever they've done. And the reason for that is not that they were industrious, though they were and are, but it was more than that. It was God that made them successful. They started off with a name that honored him, and they've lived lives that have honored him. I wish that could have been said of the parents of these three children. We don't seem to have honored the Lord quite as we should, and yet we've tried. But maybe we tried in the wrong way. I don't know. Maybe we succeeded. I don't know that. But I do know this, that the Lord has blessed those children abundantly, just abundantly. And they go on today as an abundantly blessed people. The story of one of them, while at college, was something like this. I had $20 and I thought, oh dear, well, the pastor is in great need, so I put the money in the offering and put with it a note for the pastor only. It was the last $20 I had, was the testimony. I used to sometimes get paid an exorbitant amount, I thought, for a funeral. And I had had a big funeral and was paid a tremendous chunk of money for it. And I didn't really like to accept it, but people just pushed it on me. And so I took the money. Because I felt awkward about it and I felt this money should be used differently, I made sure that this person that was at college got some money. The testimony came across. And then 3 days later, in the mail, came that check you sent me. Oh, Dad, what a blessing. God supplied. Well, God did. I didn't. God supplied to me, and I felt awkward at keeping the money, so I passed it on. Some of it was given to this fellow that was at college. How blessed we are to be able to give. It doesn't matter if you've only got a dollar bill. Give it away. Give it to the Lord's work. Put it in the Lord's work and see how it doesn't come back to you. Pressed down, running over. God has a tremendous way of keeping his accounts. He doesn't keep them the way we do. It's not a credit debit thing. It's a blessed, wonderful thing. You help someone and you give your money. It's hard to do, but it's time to do it. And you're impressed by the Lord. Do it. Then you best do it. We don't advertise our needs here. And it's deliberate on my part. I don't want to be ever known as somebody who is begging, because I have no need to beg. Listen to the word of God that we've discussed. Ask, and ye shall receive. That's sufficient for me. If I have need, I ask the Lord about it. I was shocked the other day at the pharmacy. There's this small tube of ointment that my wife absolutely needed. I went to get it, and they wanted $102 for it. I could not believe it. I was shocked. And the kind fellow behind the desk at the pharmacy said, would you rather not have it all, have half? No, I said, we'll pay it. And I gave him the money. It didn't matter whether I had more money or not. It was just a day or two later that someone gave us $100 and some. How wonderful our Lord works. I was blessed. but I could pay. And I often use the expression, I'm so rich, I'm the richest person around. And I really am in many, many ways. And one of the greatest ways I'm so rich is because the Lord Jesus is the owner of everything I have. So here we have all these things to think about. Pray, give, be generous. Ah, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you will meet every need that you see in the people that are listening to this, and that somehow some of them will be able to just turn their lives over into a place where they may become a blessing to others. Lord, will you bless all that we have, that all that we have may be enough for all that we need. And we pray these things that Jesus Christ may be glorified. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. Goodbye.